WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, we have sunny skies, 71 degrees in Atlantic. Looking for sunny skies to continue today with a high of 86. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest state and local news. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, a Republican, attended Democrat President Barack Obama's speech at the Davenport Alcoa Aluminum Plant on Tuesday. The governor said afterward that he felt the president should have addressed regulations and tax barriers that are hurting business growth.
I was concerned that he didn't address those issues on the economy, and I think that's important.
Branstad was asked why he would attend the speech by the president from a different party who is running for re-election. He says he used the visit to talk with the president before his speech.
First of all, I think we need to always appreciate when the president of the United States comes to our state. And I asked him to come back to Western Iowa.
The governor says he told Obama he's appreciative of the federal disaster declaration for the counties located along the Missouri River and hopes the president will visit the area.
I asked him to come back and view the flood damage himself. And he says, we got to do that, so hopefully he'll do that.
White House officials say the trip to Iowa wasn't political, but Branstad says there were political themes, and the president chose a business that is doing well.
Well, I think I've been through enough campaigns to know you choose to go to places you think you're going to have a positive reception. And this is a great company.
Obama stuck to his economic theme during his short speech and did not mention the flooding troubles here in western Iowa. Iowa legislators are launching a push to write a new state budget and end this year's overtime session. Bargainers cleared away one hurdle when they agreed to a 2% increase in basic state spending on local schools in the second year of the two-year spending plan they're crafting. There's no increase in the first year. Still unresolved is Governor Branstad's demand that the state overhaul its property tax system. Lawmakers will discuss that effort throughout the day today. Both sides hope to end this year's session by the end of today, but they say it could be a very long day with adjournment coming late at night. The session had been scheduled to end on April 29th. A dispute over abortion policy has become a major stumbling block as the Iowa legislature tries to adjourn this week. Iowans who qualify for government-paid Medicaid can obtain a taxpayer-funded abortion at the University of Iowa hospitals if they're the victim of rape or incest, if the fetus is profoundly deformed, or if the mother's health is endangered by the pregnancy. Republicans in the Iowa House want new restrictions that would require rape and incest victims to seek an ultrasound and be told about adoption options before abortion could be performed. Representative Matt Winschittle is a Republican from Missouri Valley.
In these traumatic situations, it has to be a horrible decision to make. But in the interests of the health, not only mentally but physically, of the woman that's in one of these situations, we want to make sure that a decision is not made in haste, that the mother understands all options available to her.
Representative Beth Wessel Kroschel, a Democrat from Ames, called the proposal offensive.
You are talking about a woman who has suffered one of the most cruel crimes that can possibly happen. And now you're trying to tell her what she needs to know to make her decision as if she is ignorant.
Winschittle says there are two lives to consider in these cases.
And I respect that the mother may not have wanted this to happen, but at the same time, the child didn't ask to be conceived. And we have to respect that. We have to put both lives on the same level, because I do believe life is a sacred gift from God.
Wessel Kroschel says rape and incest victims, regardless of their income, should be able to make this decision on their own.
We can't continue to re-victimize these women.
Winschittle says giving women information about adoption and a chance to see an ultrasound doesn't cause undue harm.
Even though if it comes through traumatic, unfortunate, horrible circumstances, there is still a life in that womb. And we have to respect both those lives equally, in my opinion.
But Wessel Kroschel countered that statement.
I think anyone who believes that a woman makes a decision under any circumstances, rashly, to terminate a pregnancy is not giving credit to the intelligence and thought process that a woman goes through when she's in these kinds of situations.
Democrats have promised to make a counter-proposal on the abortion issue later this morning at 10:30. The abortion-related issue is included in a budget bill that outlines state spending for the Departments of Public Health and Human Services. Legislators are trying to strike compromises on a host of spending decisions in order to have a state budget plan in place for the start of the new fiscal year on Friday. A national nonprofit group is claiming Iowa could lose more than 13,000 jobs as a result of a proposed Medicaid cut in the House Republican budget. Families USA Executive Director Ron Pollock says his organization's economic impact study also shows as much as $1.3 billion in state business activity would be placed at risk.
Cutting Medicaid funds not only hurts seniors, people with disabilities, and children who count on the program as their lifeline, but it also results in fewer jobs and stunts the economic recovery.
The budget proposal passed by the U.S. House calls for cutting federal funding to state Medicaid programs by 5% in the first year. Pollack says in Iowa that amounts to roughly $111 million.
That would result in more than 2,000 jobs being at risk.
The plan would eventually cut funding to state Medicaid programs by 33% in the year 2021. The Families USA report claims that that would put as many as 13,280 jobs at risk in Iowa. In addition, Pollack says those job cuts would have a multiplier effect on business activity in the state.
Those folks would have less of an ability to purchase consumer goods, whether it's a television set, a dishwasher, or an automobile, and in turn, folks who own businesses that sell those goods would have less of an ability to purchase other consumer goods.
In area news, one person was injured Tuesday afternoon during a single vehicle rollover accident southeast of Grant. According to scanner traffic, the accident happened at around 2:15 p.m. near 3111 115th Street. The unidentified woman was trapped in the vehicle, which was on its top when rescue crews arrived. Griswold Rescue transported the woman to the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital for treatment of leg and neck pain. No other information is currently available. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a Lewis woman was arrested Tuesday on alcohol and drug charges. 62-year-old Eileen Margaret Rhodes was taken into custody on charges of OWI first offense and possession of drug paraphernalia. Rhodes was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released on her own recognizance. An Atlantic woman was arrested Monday on a fraud charge. Police say 21-year-old Teresa Sutton faces a charge of unauthorized use of a credit card and fraud. Sutton has been booked into the Cass County Jail. 21-year-old Devin Register was also booked into the Cass County Jail Monday for violation of his probation. And on Tuesday, 23-year-old Joseph Fredrickson and 20-year-old Andrew Rice, both of Atlantic, were arrested on charges of fifth-degree theft, and they were being held in the Cass County Jail. Police in Omaha say a suspect in the shooting death of an Omaha man has been arrested in Kansas. Omaha police say 48-year-old Donald Kreiser was arrested Monday in Burlington, Kansas, on a warrant charging him with second-degree murder and a weapons charge. Kreiser is a suspect in the death last week of 31-year-old Blaze Benscoter. Police say Kreiser is awaiting extradition. Benscoter was found wounded last Thursday in an apartment. He died a short time later at a hospital. Three other men have been arrested in connection with his death, including 37-year-old Omar Martinez, who was arrested Monday in a hotel in Council Bluffs. 38-year-old Donald Bridgeford was arrested Saturday, and 20-year-old Sean Collins turned himself into police Saturday night. Officials of the Union Pacific Railroad have announced their legendary steam locomotive number 844 will be traveling from Council Bluffs to North Platte, Nebraska, Thursday. On the way, the train will pass through Missouri Valley and Blair, Nebraska. The engine's final destination is Cheyenne, Wyoming. The UP's Mark Davis says the train is on a tour celebrating local history, railroad heritage, and the Little Rock Express is part of the UP's Great Excursion Adventure, U-Route the Steam Contest. A global positioning system transmitter was installed on one of the rail cars that travels with the train, and it's been integrated into the Union Pacific's website at www.up.com. Entering steam in the search box will enable web users to view a map of the train's route along with other information. The data will be updated every 5 minutes. An undercover video alleging abusive practices at an Iowa hog farm has prompted some large grocery store chains to stop purchases from the company until an investigation into those allegations can be completed. The video by Chicago-based Mercy for Animals is part of an expanded effort to use secret recordings to pressure grocers. The video was shot at an Iowa Select Farms operation and will be publicized at a news conference today in Seattle, Cincinnati, San Francisco, and Des Moines. Those cities are near the headquarters of Costco, Hy-Vee, Kroger, and Safeway. Mercy for Animals Executive Director Nathan Runkle says the grocers must ensure the meat they sell was humanely produced. Howard Hill of Iowa Select Farm says the video doesn't give a fair picture of its operation. And people along the Des Moines River downstream of Lake Red Rock are being warned of possible flooding. The Army Corps of Engineers has increased the release to 30,000 cubic feet per second. That's 8,000 more than the normal 22,000 cubic feet per second. The increase is designed to preserve water storage space. Engineers say the water behind the dam is expected to keep rising, as will the outflow. The Corps says that when the pool reaches 776 feet above sea level, the outflow gradually will be raised to 35,000 cubic feet per second. The record pool level at Lake Red Rock is about 782 feet, and that was set in July of 1993. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin says the federal government will give the state $4.13 million to cover the costs related to damage caused by ice storms in January of 2010. Harkin announced the funding Tuesday, and the money will come from the Federal Emergency Management Agency as a result of President Obama's federal disaster declaration in March of 2010. The funds will be distributed to 15 Iowa counties affected by the storms, including Story, Cherokee, and Pocahontas counties. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the parents of Casey Anthony, who is accused of killing her 2-year-old daughter, have been back on the witness stand today in Central Florida. Cindy Anthony was the first witness called today in the murder trial of her daughter. Casey Anthony's attorneys say they have about 6 more witnesses to call, but it's not clear if the young woman herself will testify. The defense attorneys have continued their strategy of painting the Anthony family as dysfunctional. Greece's lawmakers have approved a key austerity bill, paving the way for the country to get its next vital bailout loans that will prevent it from defaulting next month. The unpopular $40 billion 5-year package of spending cuts and tax hikes was backed by a majority of the 300-member parliament. The vote took place amid clashes between police and protesters outside the parliament building. Even as the U.S. military works toward a pullout of some troops from Afghanistan later this year, the Taliban have carried out a brazen attack in the country's capital. After a standoff of more than 5 hours at the Intercontinental Hotel in Kabul, 19 people were dead, including all 8 attackers. But President Hamid Karzai says his army and police will still be able to take over the handling of Afghan security as planned. Stocks were mixed in early trading this morning in New York amid word of progress toward easing the debt crisis in Greece. Bank of America stock was higher after the company reached an $8.5 billion settlement with investors over claims that the bank sold them low-quality mortgage-backed securities. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up just about basically a point. Taking a look at our funeral announcements, 54-year-old Michael G. Finken of Apple Valley, Minnesota, died June 22nd. A massive Christian burial service for Michael Finken will be today at 10:30 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. The White Funeral Home in Apple Valley has arrangements. 86-year-old Norman Woltman of Avoca died Friday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Services for Norman Woltman will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. 75-year-old Paul L. Whalert of Exira died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Paul Whalert will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. And 54-year-old Alan D. Stephenson of Adair died Thursday at the Dallas County Hospital in Perry. Services for Alan Stephenson will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.